better begins with the way we treat each other, the way we listen to one another, and the way we serve and support each other. At Aspirus Health, better begins with a commitment to help build healthy families, healthy relationships, and healthy communities throughout a lifetime, from generation to generation. For whatever needs to be better in your life, better begins at Aspirus Health. Passion for excellence, compassion for people.
Let's get back to Rafters Baseball here on WFHR Wisconsin Rapids.
It's the fifth appearance of the 2024 summer for Max Weitzel in his first in a non-save situation. 2-2 the score as we enter the top of the ninth from historic Witter Field. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Rafters, back with you here for a third straight game against the Mallards of Madison. 1-2-3 due up for the Mallards. Top of the order, Charlie Marion, the left-handed hitting right fielder, will step in to face Weitzel to begin this inning. Right-hander set, the first pitch. A breaking ball that misses low for ball one, a slider out of the hand there of Weitzel. Four saves in four outings, four innings pitched for Weitzel. He's allowed just two hits, has walked two and struck out four, no earned runs yet, and has faced 15 hitters. In the early going for the Northwoods League, and the league leader in saves, a 1-0 fastball is in there for a called strike. 91 on the gun there from Weitzel. Marion, 1-for-3 in four plate appearances today, drew a 5-pitch walk in the first, that solo homer to get the scoring started back in the third inning. As the 1-1 fastball is there on the outside corner, another called strike to make it 1-2. In inning number 5, Marion a ground out over to the first baseman, Grayson Schaefer, 3 unassisted, and in the 7th, grounded back out to the mound, a 1-3 putout. 1-2 the count, Weitzel set, the payoff pitch, slider that misses low and in. To even it up at 2-2, Weitzel's the fifth pitcher used tonight by the Rafters. Started off with Ricky Williams, who threw three innings, allowed three hits and one run, walked three and struck out two, throwing 54 pitches. From there, it was three innings of shutout ball from the left-hander out of Hillsdale College, Brandon Scott. The 2-2 from Weitzel. This is inside for ball three. Scott allowed two hits, walked one, and did not strike out a Madison hitter, but was able to get through three scoreless and 36 pitches. Kyle Bender there got the 7th and threw a scoreless inning, leaving a runner out on 3rd. No hits allowed, walked 1, struck out 1, and threw 17 pitches total. 3-2, slider fouled away. Staying alive there is Marion. Juan Berrios got the 8th in his Rafter debut, threw 30 pitches, allowed a run, and it was earned on 3 walks. No hits and no strikeouts for the southpaw of Alabama State. Another 3-2 coming here from the Rafter closer. This one hit on the ground down the first baseline. It's foul. We'll get a third straight 3-2 pitch here in this plate appearance. 2 runs on 5 hits and no errors for Madison. 2 runs on 4 hits and no errors for the Rafters. As Davis Hamilton is on deck, Alex Harrell, the DH, is set to follow. The 3-2 from Max. This is way out in the left-handed batter's box for ball four. For Marion, that'll be an 8-pitch walk to get him out on the base paths for the second time today. Davis Hamilton's been aboard twice as well. He had a base hit back in the first inning, extending his hitting streak to 8 games. Grounded out to second base in Trotter Boston in the 3rd. Drew a 6-pitch walk in the 5th and grounded out to Boston to end the inning over at second base in the 7th. First pitch to Hamilton, sprays this one foul beyond the third base grandstands here at Witter Field. 6-3 of the Mallards, 4-5 of the Rafters. If Weitzel can throw up a scoreless inning here, Rafters could be in walk-off territory with just one run in the 9th. And the 3-4-5 spots, the heart of the order, due up with Jack Matthew, Jorge Degatti, and Kyler McIntosh. The 0-1. Breaking ball in the outside corner, lands it perfectly. Weitzel's ahead here 0-2. The Witterfield crowd on the edge of their seats, knowing the 9th inning could be something special. The 0-2, fouled away by Davis Hamilton. Raptors, as mentioned, with their home white uniforms and black bottoms, debuting the all-black hat for the first time this season. Pretty cool look with Madison shifting from their home whites to their baby blues with yellow trimming, their usual road uniforms. The 0-2 once again. Check swing on a breaking ball down in the dirt. Hamilton not going around and not biting on that delivery from Weitzel. The count moves 1-2. See what the Sun Prairie, Wisconsin native can do here on Max Weitzel's 1-2 pitch. First base side of the rubber remains. Weitzel set with 12 on the pitch clock. That fastball on the inside corner got him looking. Hamilton, a few words to say to the home plate umpire, Shem Martin. Regardless, he's down on strikes on that mid-90s fastball from Weitzel in the first out of the inning. One pitch away is Weitzel from getting the Raptors back into the dugout with the three-hitter Alex Harrell stepping in. Weitzel's first pitch to Harrell, blocked in the dirt by Matthew. Count will begin with a ball and no strikes on Harrell. Harrell still looking for his first hit of the season. This is his third game with the Mallards, all coming in the last 3 days. Hit into a 4-6 double play in the first, a line-out snagged by Trotter Boston, flipped to Kyler McIntosh on the second base bag in time to record the twin killing. 1-0 pitch. That one runs inside, and it hits Harrell. Marion will head to second, Harrell to first. Two runners on with one out here in the ninth. This is one of the few guys Madison would want to have up in this spot right now in terms of pure confidence level. It's the cleanup hitter and the right-handed hitting first baseman, Blake Guerin. Guerin's been aboard three different times tonight. 1-for-2 in 4 plate appearances, grounded out to the third baseman, Jorge Degatti, back in the first to begin this evening. Drew a 5-pitch walk in the third, single to lead off the sixth, and drew a 7-pitch walk most recently in the eighth inning. Weitzel looks back at the runner on second, Marion. A couple of peers. Now the first pitch to Guerin, a breaking ball. Hit foul down the right field line. Bierling on deck, Monroe to follow. Weitzel facing some traffic really for the first time all season. Matthew throwing down the signals, and Ohio Dominican battery once again. College teammates going to work here in the ninth. The 0-1. Breaking ball, missing low and inside to Guerin. Guerin entering tonight hitting exactly 400, doing quite the damage in the first handful of games this summer. Coming off his sophomore season at the University of Iowa. The 1-1 from Weitzel. This is outside in the left-handed batter's box for ball two. Firework Friday here, regardless of the outcome tonight, Wisconsin Rapids. Raptor fans hoping it's after a walk-off win. Had it last Friday as well for the Raptors, and seven total times we'll have it this summer. 2-1. That one misses low and outside. It's now 3 balls and 1 strike on the first baseman, Blake Guerin. Pinch hitter in the on-deck circle for Madison. That's their switch-hitting catcher, David Whittle. Would be hitting in the spot of Bierling. A 3-1 to Guerin. Breaking ball on the inside corner. It's called a strike. Guerin was ready to ditch his bat and head down the first base line, but he's got to now face a 3-2 here from Weitzel. Power on power. The Raptor closer on the Mallard cleanup hitter with 2 on and 1 out. A tie ball game, 2-2 the score in the top of the ninth inning. Weitzel comes set, 5 on the pitch clock. The payoff delivery misses low and outside for ball 4. Guerin drawing a 6-pitch walk. Bags are juiced for the second straight frame, and another conference to come here for Raptor pitching coach Mike Spears. And it will be David Whittle, just firmly announced as the pinch hitter in this inning, the other catcher, so it's assumed he'll come in to do the catching in the bottom half of this ninth inning. Here the postgame firework announcement as well. Fans excited for that, but business needs to be attended to first here. This will be the 6th game appeared in this year for Whittle. Was the catcher last night against the Raptors, went 1-for-3 with a run scored, an RBI, drew a walk, and beat out what would have been an inning-ending 4-6-3 double play with the bases loaded and one out in the 8th. Him beating out that throw from Kyler McIntosh to first base allowed the go-ahead run to score in what was the eventual winning run for the Mallards last night. Bases full of Mallards. It's Marion on third, Harrell on second, Guerin on first with one down. First pitch to Whittle. Misses low. The third baseman, Degatti, playing even with the bag, maybe even a couple steps in. The first baseman, Schaefer, playing in front of his first base counterpart. Out on the base paths, Blake Guerin. Middle's back in double play depth for the Rafters. 1-0 pitch. Whittle hits this one in the air, deep right field. McClanahan back, track, wall. That ball's gone. It is a pinch hit grand slam with one out here in the ninth for David Whittle. The Mallards take a 6-2 lead. Whittle fired up, round in the third base bag. Madison now in striking distance of winning three straight against the Mallards. Silence here at Winter Field as Whittle touches them all and clears the bags. Barreling up that fastball from Weitzel, there was no doubt about it when it left his bat. Tyler McClanahan gave it a chase to the wall, but could just watch it fly. One out now for Jake Monroe. Weitzel's first runs allowed in the season. Lets a huge rip on that first pitch fastball. To the Mallard third baseman at 91 miles an hour, misses low and out for ball one. The one ball delivery from Weitzel. Fastball on the outside corner is there for a called strike. You could hear a pin drop in this place right now. Silence, stunned. Now six runs on six hits for the visitors. Two runs on four hits for your Rafters. A lot of work to do in the bottom of the ninth inning as the 1-1 pitch is fouled away. Neither team has committed an error defensively. Squeaky clean defense on both sides. Have even seen some pretty nice highlight reel plays from the Rafters out in the field tonight. 1-2 the count. Weitzel set the payoff. He struck him out swinging. Monroe down on strikes for the second time tonight. Two outs with the bases empty for Liam Moreno. Moreno has a hit tonight. He's also reached two total times. That base hit for him coming in his first at-bat back in the second. Popped out to Trotter Boston in shallow right center field in the fourth. First pitch from Weitzel is a fastball right down the heart of the plate and is called a strike. Moreno in his third at-bat grounded out. The shortstop Kyler McIntosh to end the inning most recently drew a five-pitch walk just a frame ago in the eighth. The 0-1 from Weitzel. Fastball swung on and missed to make it 0-2. One mistake pitch from Weitzel is plated four in this inning for Madison. Walk's not helping either, but was still a ground ball away from potentially getting the Rafters back into the dugout. The 0-2 misses low and out. Nick Paulson, the ball boy on duty tonight for the Rafters, hustling to snag that one behind the dish. Count moves 1-2. Weitzel's set. His next delivery. Breaking ball, got him to chase. For the third out of the inning, back-to-back punch-outs from Weitzel here in the ninth, but a pinch-hit grand slam off the bench for David Whittle has given Madison their second lead of the night. They lead at 6-2 entering the home half of the ninth inning. A lot of work to do for the Rafters. It'll be up to the 3-4-5 spots and beyond. Jack Matthey, Jorge Degatti, and Kyler McIntosh set to lead it off in the frame against the right-hander, Holden Harris. We'll be back in just a couple minutes from historic Winter Field. You're listening to Rafter Baseball on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies? The Civic Media Radio Network supports the impact and celebrations and is sharing thoughtful stories all month long.
If you dig into the history of the LGBTQ plus movement in our state, you may be surprised by what you find. The first public call to get rid of restrictions against gay people was discussed by Wisconsin officials in 1966, not long after voters elect several openly gay leaders for the first time. But a 1982 law stands out as Wisconsin becomes the first state to prohibit discrimination in employment, housing, and public accommodations on the basis of sexual orientation. An extraordinary history of Wisconsin pride. I'm Terry Barr. 1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Let's get back to the game here on WFHR.
6-2 our score, home half of the ninth. Raptors down to their final three outs in this Friday night battle with the Madison Mallards. Andy Ockham, your voice of the Raptors here on WFHR. 3, 4, 5 spots due up. It'll be the second inning on the hill for Madison. Right-handed reliever, number 32, Holden Harris. David Whittle will enter the ballgame for Madison after hitting a pinch-hit grand slam off the bench for the Mallards in this top half of the inning. All 8 runs between the two teams scored tonight have come via the long ball. Jack Mathey to lead off the inning. He's 1-for-2 in 3 plate appearances, reaching twice on a base hit in the third. Most recently drew a 7-pitch walk in the sixth. Holden Harris back out on the hill. The right-hander has come set, gets the signs from his new catcher in the first pitch of this bottom of the ninth inning. Misses low for ball one. Harris threw 10 pitches in the eighth inning, 1-2-3 against these Raptors, including an inning-ending strikeout of Tyler McClanahan, or I should say back-to-back punchouts in the Trotter-Boston. That was the seventh inning as the 1-0 pitch is cut on and missed by Mathey to even up the count at 1-1. We're back here tomorrow night at 6:35, same time, same place, same opponent, the Mallards wrapping up 4 consecutive between the two teams. Harris set the 1-1 to Jack Mathey. A fastball right down Broadway is in there for a called strike two. Jorge Degatti on deck. Kyler McIntosh will follow. Raptors going to need to find base runners early and often, trailing by 4 in the ninth. Pause from the right-hander. Harris the 1-2. Mathey hits this fastball in the air down the right field line. It'll get into the Mallard bullpen. The Raptors can't come back. Tonight they'll fall to 4-6. They began their season 3-1 in their first 4. After winning opening day, losing the second game in the first game here at Winterfield, they swept the Waterloo Bucks. We're 2 above 500 and have only won 1 game since. 1-2 from Harris. That fastball misses high for ball 2. And as mentioned, after tomorrow, the finale of a 3-game homestand is a Sunday matinee and the beginning of a home-and-home with the La Crosse Loggers. The Raptors will then head to Copeland Park on Monday night for the first time of 2 matchups on the road at La Crosse this year. 2-2 pitch, hit on the ground, back up the middle. Shading on the right side, the second baseman, Hamilton Fields, and throws to first in time for the first out of the inning. Mathey down 4-3. It'll bring up Jorge Degatti with 1 out and nobody on. Degatti 0-for-2 in 3 plate appearances tonight. Most recently drew a 4-pitch walk back in the 6th. Also grounded out 3 unassisted to begin his day in the 2nd. Went down swinging in the 3rd. First pitch from Harris to Degatti is a fastball that misses upstairs for ball 1. Max Weitzel, the closer of the Raptors. 4 appearances, 4 saves converted. This was a non-save situation in the top of the 9th, but had yet to allow a run this year, has allowed 4. Off that one swing of the bat from David Whittle, the 1-0. Fastball in the inside corner. It's there for a called strike to even the count at a ball and a strike. Probable starter tomorrow night for the Raptors was the right-hander that threw last Saturday on the road in Wausau. It will be the Winterfield debut for the right-hander number 29, Zach Boss, out of McNeese State. 1-1 to Degatti, hit on a line up the middle. It's going to be a base hit. Back-to-back games with a base hit, and his first 2 with the Raptors here this summer. They got some life with 1 out here in the bottom of the 9th inning. It'll bring up Kyler McIntosh searching for his first hit of the evening. McIntosh grounded out to 3rd in his first at-bat in the 2nd inning. Flew out to the center fielder Dickerson back in the 4th and hit into an 8-2 double play in the sixth. The fly ball with the bases loaded to center field. Jack Mathey tagged, but was thrown out at the plate by Dickerson to end that frame. First pitch to McIntosh is swung on and missed into the glove of Whittle for strike one. We'll see if they put Degatti in motion. Being held on by the first baseman, Guerin, but with the Rafters trailing by four, don't want to make an out on the base pads here in the ninth inning. Harris set, the 0-1. That one's there on the inside corner. Back-to-back heaters and back-to-back strike from the right-hander. It's nothing in two. Jake Beauchesne on deck. Grayson Schaefer to follow. A run in the top of the third for Madison. It was a solo homer for Charlie Marion. Rafters got it back with two in the bottom of the third on one swing of the bat from Miles Vandenhoevel. The 0-2 pitch skied in the air. Third baseline, foul territory, heading near the rat trap, but it'll stay in the field of play and is caught by Jake Monroe for the second out of the inning. Rafters down to their final out tonight. It is Jake Beauchesne. Mallards tied it up in the eighth inning. 4-6 fielder's choice that was reached on by Corbin Dickerson to nod it at two off the left-hander Juan Berrios. Harris would be the pitcher of record to collect the win. Max Weitzel will get the loss if we stay here at 6-2. Jake Beauchesne looking to extend this bottom of the ninth inning. Nobody holding Degatti on at first. Does not take off on the first pitch. It's a breaking ball from Harris, and he flips that one right down the middle of the plate for a called strike one. Still got 62 more after tonight. Plenty of ball game left for the Rafters this season, and their 15th as a franchise. 0-1, runner takes off, swing and a miss by Beauchesne. Whittle will hold up from throwing down to second. Count is no balls and two strikes on the Raptor left fielder. Degatti's into second safely. Raptor fans remaining in attendance for the fireworks tonight. Give it a nice clap for Jake Beauchesne. Trying to encourage the Raptor outfielder in extending this ninth. The 0-2 fastball fouled back by the freshman out of Saddleback College. On deck is Schaefer, then it's Tyler McClanahan entering the bottom half and then bottom third of the Raptor order. Six runs on six hits, no errors for the Mallards, two runs on five hits and no errors for the Rafters. Another 0-2 from Holden Harris. He struck him out swinging. Ball game over. The Rafters drop the third straight contest against the Mallards by a score of 6-2 back here at historic Winter Field. We'll come back here on WFHR in a few minutes for your official Rafter postgame show from this Friday night bout. Here on your home for the Rafters, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. Locally grown radio.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
It's June Dairy Month, and though more than 5 million people call Wisconsin home, we share our state with close to 1.5 million cows. Those beautiful animals. Yes, okay, I grew up on a dairy farm outside of Green Bay. They've been here since before we became a state. Can you answer this? Most of our cow's milk currently makes which product? Is it butter, cheese, or ice cream? The answer coming up. Wisconsin's first official milk plant, 1894 in the Waupun area of Fond du Lac County. Fast forward more than 120 years, now farmer-owned with a second location in the Outagamie County village of Black Creek, the Saputo plant is even featured on History Channel's Modern Marvels for its award-winning cheesemaking. So did you guess? Most of our cow's milk, 90% of it currently makes cheese. Gouda for you. Celebrating our dairy farmers with this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr.
Now, let's get back to exciting.
It's fair time across Wisconsin, and with more than 70 county fairs, three district fairs, and the state fair, there's something for everyone to enjoy, including classic carnival games like Ski Ball, made in Wisconsin. You just roll that ball up a ramp and use enough strength to hop the ball into one of the bullseye rings, then add up your points. So what is the actual object of skee-ball? To show off your bowling-like skills to your friends, to work on your attention span, or to win a prize like a stuffed animal? The answer coming up. Skee-ball is close to 110 years old. It's made in Pulaski, Wisconsin by Baytech Games. The company itself originally started in a basement. Now, do you know the object of the skee-ball game? It really is to add up your points and win a prize like a stuffed animal. One fun slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rafters drop this Friday night battle at home with the Madison Mallards. Your final score, 6-2. It's the Raptor postgame show with your voice of the Raptors, Andy Ockham, here on WFHR. Tough one for Wisconsin Rapids. 2-2 was the score when we entered the ninth, but how do we get there? A solo home run in the top of the third from the leadoff hitter in the Madison order, Charlie Marion, got the ball game going. But in the bottom half of the third with 2 outs, the Raptors strung some hits together. It was one of our keys to the ball game. Keep fighting. With 2 down, Alex Brody, the 9-hitter in the order, shot a double the other way, getting it back to the top of the card for Miles Vandenhoevel to hit a 2-run long ball over the left center field fence. Unfortunately for the Raptors, 4 of their 5 hits came with 2 down in that third inning. Jorge Degatti picking up the 5th and final hit of the night in the bottom half of the 9th inning. 2-1 was the score for the Raptors for the longest time until the top of the 8th inning. Bases loaded and a chance for them to get out of it with a potential fielder's choice. Flipped to second from Trotter Boston over to Kyler McIntosh. Was not in time on a ground ball hit by Corbin Dickerson. Will Vierling, the catcher, came in to score to tie it up at 2 apiece. Bases were then loaded in the top of the ninth after the Raptors failed to score in the bottom of the 8th with only 1 down. David Whittle, the other catcher on the roster for Madison off the bench, deposited a grand slam over the right field wall to make it 6-2 in our eventual final score. Out on the mound for Wisconsin Rapids, Ricky Williams got the start tonight, went 3 innings in his second start as a Raptor, both being on Friday night, both being here at historic Witter Field. 3 hits allowed, 1 run, 3 walks, 2 punchouts, and 54 pitches for the right-hander out of the University of South Carolina. Brandon Scott would then take the ball from him, and the left-hander from Hillsdale in his 3rd outing of the season and 2nd out of the bullpen would throw 3 scoreless, allowing 2 hits, striking out none, walking 1 in 36 pitches thrown. From there, it was solo innings from Kyle Bender, Juan Berrios, and Max Weitzel, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Weitzel, the stopper for the Raptors, was tabbed with the loss this evening after the 4-run 9th inning. The win going to Holden Harris, throwing the final 2 frames for Madison. Coley Kilpatrick got the start for the visitors. 5 innings of 2-run ball. That home run from Vandenhoevel, the only runs he allowed on 4 hits. Didn't walk a Raptor hitter and struck out 8 in 79 pitches thrown. In between Harris and Kilpatrick was the southpaw of Michigan State University, Aiden Arbaugh. 2 innings of scoreless ball, didn't allow a hit against the Raptors. Walked 2, punched out 1, and 33 pitches thrown. Time of the game tonight, 2:47, just over 900. Wonderful Raptor fans in attendance for the 5th home game of the season and game 10 overall. The Mallards improved to 7-3. The Raptors drop to 4-6, still very early on in this 2024 Northwoods League season. Once again, the Mallards 6 runs on 6 hits, no errors, and left 9 out on the base paths. Raptors, 2 runs on 5 hits, no errors, and left 4 on base. I want to thank you so much for tuning in to tonight's presentations of Raptor Baseball. We're back here tomorrow night, same time, same place, same opponent, the Madison Mallards, a 6:35 first pitch. Make sure to tune in 10 to 15 minutes before we get going for your official Raptor pregame show on WFHR. Andy Ockham signing off from now from historic Witter Field on your home of the Raptors, 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
It's official. Governor Tony Evers proclaims this June is Pride Month in Wisconsin. But did you know the state has a long history of activism alongside LGBTQ plus communities and allies?
People missing men, women, children, in the Native way. So I want to amplify what you just said there because it's the beginning and we got to keep the momentum and we need to hire more, or not hire, we need to vote and have people, Native Americans, BIPOC people, and especially Native Americans run for office.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for Matt Nair on air. CBS News special report. Retired Major General William Anders, a former Apollo 8 astronaut, has died. His son Greg confirms that his father was piloting solo when his plane crashed into the waters of the San Juan Islands in Washington State. The local sheriff says they have not recovered a body. CBS's Peter King on William Anders' legacy.
Bill Anders only flew in space once, but what a flight it was, as Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman became the first humans to circle the moon on Christmas Eve, 1968. Anders' first impression?
That's how I describe it, thus gaining the wrath of poets worldwide.
But looking back at Earth...
Oh, my God, look at that picture over there. Wow, is that pretty.
Anders grabbed a camera and started shooting.
And the picture that was commemorated on the stamp and has been the picture of popularity was one I took.
Earthrise quickly became one of the most iconic photographs in human history.
William Anders was 90. CBS News Special Report, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
Civic Media News, I'm Ella Saff. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Even after a year of deep budget cuts, seven University of Wisconsin schools are still more than $17 million in debt. UW-Oshkosh has run through all its reserves. That's a first for the UW system. The other schools are Eau Claire, Parkside, River Falls, Stevens Point, Superior, and Whitewater. More and more senior citizens are falling victim to Medicare scams. The program loses around $60 billion a year to fraud, errors, and abuse. Medicare program manager Sherry Smith says scammers often call senior citizens looking to steal their Medicare numbers.
They'll say, I'm from Medicare and we're calling to confirm your number. Is it 12345? And you go, oh no, it's 678910. And you've just given them your Medicare number.
Smith says Medicare doesn't call people at home, so just hang up. And that's what you need to know. I'm Ella Saff, and this is Civic Media News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm Pete with the 60-second Showbiz Beat. Pat Sajak's days of letting contestants know they blew it in his not-so-subtle way may be over, but he took one more opportunity last week to mock a contestant. The correct answer was facts and figures, and a contestant named Allison guessed boats and hangers. Pat remarked, so not close. He told her the correct answer, opened the envelope, and let her know she lost out on $40,000. Don't worry, Allison, that game is a lot easier when you have the answer in your hand or the comfort of your own living room. In more snarky Sajak news, Pat is not retiring. According to Deadline, Sajak is in Honolulu, Hawaii, executive producing and starring in a murder mystery play based on the pilot episode of TV's Columbo called Prescription Murder. The show is actually a fundraiser for other theaters in Hawaii, and Sajak's run will go through August of 2025. Sajak has been hosting Wheel of Fortune since 1981. Who knew that all those years he really just wanted to do dinner theater? For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 7 to 9 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds return to the area tonight, some rain developing late, and lows in the low 50s. For tomorrow, more clouds around, a couple of showers early, then maybe some sunny peaks in the afternoon. Highs to the low 70s. Nice Sunday, mostly sunny, high mid-70s. It's 60 right now.
It's time for Civic Media's Scotty Summer Text-to-Win Contest right here on this local Civic Media radio station. We're hooking you up with Wisconsin Dells prize packs, Milwaukee Brewers club-level tickets, plus the chance to win a summer getaway to Door County, Lake Geneva, or a lake house vacation. Download the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores, find your station, and get set to text for your chance to win in this statewide contest. It's your shot to win with Scotty Summer on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn Show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Sync radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Pat Kreitlow.
Our guest Monday is a fourth-generation cheesemaker. She has the smallest licensed creamery in Wisconsin, but her cheddar just won a national honor.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native Concrete and Masonry, working with clients to perform, design, create, and accomplish. Check out their work at nativeconcretemasonry.com.
They are awesome, and please give them a call. They do a great job, and they're a new partner here at Native Roots or Roots Radio. I still can't say that right. Boots Roots, Native
Boots Roots,
Roots
Auntie Auntie.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, we are here with State Senator Mary Kunish, and we always enjoy all these years with the State Senator. What are we going to do when we retire? I suppose we'll still do the radio show, huh?
Oh my gosh. Until we're 100 years old, huh? Yeah, you know, they said that people who become grandparents at an older age tend to live longer. So having, you know, just recently in the last couple of years become a grandparent, and I know you're going to be a grandparent very soon, mm-hmm. Robert.
Yeah.
I guess we can expect another 40 years, huh?
Yeah. Well, we had Bob Blake on, and I think we're supposed to be down to zero emissions by 2050, and I'll be 90, so I don't know if I'll know the difference, but I might be around that long.
Yeah. Have to take care of ourselves.
Yeah. I'm going for a walk right after the show, because I was getting those 15, 20,000 steps on the boardwalk in Long Beach, but since I've been home for a day and a half, I haven't really gotten out there, but I'm kind of resting a little bit here, and I'll go out later.
Well, like we said, it's a lovely, lovely day, and it always feels good to get out and move around.
Yeah, definitely. And hopefully we're not making anybody out there in Indian Country feel jealous, because we do have the perfect weather here. When it's not humid, we have the greatest summers in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I wonder what we're going to start seeing as far as people moving from the south back up to the north because of the temperatures, the high temperatures. I have a brother that's going to Las Vegas this weekend. Ugh. I think it's supposed to be like 106 degrees there.
Yep. It's a little early for that.
Yeah, and I mean, and it's over 100 for a number of days. And so, and I think Florida and you know, the deep south, is the temperature is just rising, just like it is here in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. But when you're that hot to begin with, or that warm to begin with, I can't imagine that those folks are going to want to live down there much longer when you have to stay in your house the entire time in air conditioning. The cost, the, you know, unhealthiness of it, of not being able to get out and move around, see people, do mm-hmm. things. So yeah, it'll be interesting in the next couple of years to see how many people migrate up back to the up north. I know there was a huge migration after many of the states put in violated trans rights and LGBTQ rights and reproductive rights. I know so many people that actually moved to Minnesota for those reasons.
Right.
And, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. That's a good observation. I know a lot of people were moving to the Twin Cities, and they went up and stayed at Duluth. I heard some report that Duluth has like 10,000 more people from all over the country moved up there.
Yeah, it's a beautiful part of the state. You can't beat that Lake Superior, except maybe in the winter when it's really stormy, or if you're on a ship, right. Barge out there. It's beautiful country up there. I don't know who wouldn't really want to live up there, but it'll be very, very interesting to see how things go. And I worked on some legislation with our Posse Caucus in the Senate. That Posse Caucus is people of color, indigenous. So all of us folks of color have our own little caucus, and we work on issues and legislation that affect our unique communities. And one of the issues is around land that is taken from by the county for tax forfeiture, and how that land is sort of resold. And Senator Paugh, who is a senator here just in the Brooklyn Center area, is an incredible real estate person. And she was talking about how hard it is for folks to get loans for those pieces of land, and how the county will often, some of the counties will finance the purchase of that land, and county does the financing. You don't have to go out and get a mortgage or anything like that. And I just think that that's really important as we're looking forward on how to get those lands into the hands of folks, and with like no minimum deposit down, because you know how hard it is to get any down payment, and then to be able to keep those payments up. So I think we'll see some changes in our population across Minnesota in the next couple of years. And I think it'll be a lot to do with climate change. And also, I hope education, because as education chair, I am just bound and determined to continue to do the good work in that way.
Yeah, definitely. You were parading yesterday. That's part of your job, is getting out there and shaking hands and kissing babies, not only your grandbabies, but everybody else's. That's kind of an exciting time to be, especially with the support your community has for you.
Yeah, it's election year, not for me, because I have a 4-year term, so I'm just in the middle of mine. But our state representatives, all of them have to get reelected this year. But one of the things I really do enjoy is going to our community parades. And we had one up in Spring Lake Park yesterday, or Fridley, their Towers Day. And it was a lot of fun. It's good to see people out and about, you know, just people lining the sidewalks, waving and saying hello. And there are a few people that kind of frowned on the new flag that was flying in the vehicle I was riding with Representative Erin Cagle, who's up for reelection, and she had the new Minnesota flag. But a lot of people were like, "Yay!" giving us the thumbs up, and a couple are like, but it's all in good spirit. Everybody's out, and just a good sense of community.
Yeah. Well, I can't. There's two things that are on my list now that I'm back from New York, and one of them is to get my license plate changed and also get a state flag.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the one she had was beautiful. The star was almost embroidered. It wasn't just like flat canvas. Mm-hmm. And so I have to find out where she got that. But I'm seeing more and more of those flags flying, and more of the MMIR license plates.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I always try to look in the window, like, do I know that person in there? And I still, to this day, every time I've looked, it hasn't been somebody that I know, which is really great, because that means people, all kinds of people are buying that license plate. And just to remind folks, it's a missing and murdered Indigenous relatives license plate here in Minnesota. It's a specialty license plate, and all of the funds that the specialty rate for that license plate goes directly to the missing and murdered Indigenous relatives office here in our state government. And they can use that for rewards. They'll use that for searches or the work that needs to be done in looking for and finding and keeping our community safe. So I hope you get one of those license plates, Robert.
That's exactly what I was alluding to. Yeah.
Oh, good for you. Good
and
for
I don't
you.
Know, can you get them personalized too? I know I've seen.
Yeah.
So that's a little more money. And I'm trying to think, What's the name of this former president of Prairie Island, Shelley Buck, right?
Yep.
She has one. I was at a meeting with her with Met Council, and she was in the same parking lot as me, said, I got to go see who that is. And it was Shelley. She has one, right? She must've got them right away.
What does hers say?
It just has numbers.
Oh, okay. Yes. I have a special, I chose mine and I put Wachoni, which means respect and honor. But you can only have 6 letter number combination. And when you go in there, they'll ask you for 3 different ones in case somebody already has the one that you wanted. Mm. Like I know the director of the MMIR office chose MMIW, maybe like 00 or 11. I don't remember exactly what it was. So I chose something that wasn't going to be something that might duplicate hers. Mm-hmm. So if you do that, be prepared and have 3 different choices. And if nobody's taken the one that you chose as your first one, then you get that. If somebody already has that, then it'll go to the next couple. I was at the desk and they told me that. I was like, well, I don't even know what my other choices would be.
Yeah.
And had to come up with something really fast. So that's what I did.
Well, mine would be either pilot or is it 7 letters or numbers? I can't even remember. If it was 7, some way I got to spell Ho-Chunk and probably without a K or an N or something. Or a U, or a C, or an O, or an H.
One of them.
I'll have to figure that out because that's what I want on mine is Ho-Chunk. And so maybe H-Chunk.
Yeah. Ho and then C-H-N-K.
Say that again.
Ho.
Yeah.
And then C-H-N-K. Take out the U.
Yeah, there you go. Oh,
yeah,
Haley, we're doing that again.
Jinx again.
Jeez. Well, heck, we only got 30 minutes here. What's your week look like? Or 30 seconds left. What's your week look like?
Next week is not such a busy week for me, which is great. I'm having some work done on my house, so I'm getting that ready. End of June, July, August, I'm really busy going to conferences and family things. So It's nice. I'm getting a few books in and spending time with the grandkids and getting rested up, got my hair cut, all that good stuff. New glasses, everything.
We'll send a Native Concrete over too to give you an estimate.
Perfect.
Right on. Hey, Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we'll be back right after this short break. Stay with us.
Minnesotans age 65 plus might qualify for Health Partners Minnesota Senior Health Options. The plan includes personal support, coverage for medical prescription drugs and dental, plus over 30 extra benefits. Eligibility information is available at healthpartners.com/oneplan. Health Partners is a health plan that contracts with both Medicare and the Minnesota Medical Assistance Medicaid program to provide benefits of both programs to enrollees. Enrollment in Health Partners depends on contract renewal.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month. Right here on AM 950.
Hi, this is Charlie. Dad, don't make me say this.
I'm posting your baby photos on my social media.
Fine. My dad is the original Minnesota Mac Daddy, Matt McNeil.
Darn tootin'.
This summer, after graduating college, I'm going on a road trip across America, and I'm driving the RAV4 from Rudy Luther Toyota. The RAV4 is a perfect vehicle for both city and outdoor driving. It's comfortable, it's a hybrid, and it's fun to drive.
Son, it is fun. Test drive the RAV4 today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 just west of downtown Minneapolis.
End-of-life decisions are not easy to make. Hi, I'm Mary T. of Mary T. Hospice Care.
It's important to make sure that this difficult time is meaningful and comforting to you and your loved ones. Our hospice team provides an individualized program of physical, emotional, spiritual, and practical care so your loved one is comfortable and not in pain. At Mary T. Hospice, we understand that choosing the right hospice care provider can be overwhelming, but we're here to assist you. Learn more today at MaryTInc.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
How?
How?
I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and I learned so much from you and all these years, and you are a founder of Native Roots Radio.
Hey, everybody. Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanajihihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that, as always. I have some good news here. This is news from last week. So really 8 days ago, May 30th, 2024, and this is from News 10 San Diego. Yellowstone National Park's oldest wolf gave birth to three pups this spring. Yep, Wolf 907 has lived nearly four times the average lifespan of a wolf and just gave birth to her 10th litter of pups. The oldest wolf in Yellowstone National Park is known as Wolf 907. The 10th litter has just started to come out from its den, said Kira Casey, a research associate with the Yellowstone Wolf Project. The three pups are now to be 4 weeks old, so they're just five weeks old now, because this is a week old, and have started to crawl around. Wolf's 907's current den is visible from the roadway. She's just over 11 years old. The oldest one we've ever recorded is 12 and a half, Casey said. We know of at least five wolves that were captured and radio collared that are her direct offspring, she said. Last year, Wolf 907 old had one pup survive in her litter. Quote, she has now lived almost four times longer than the average wolf. On average, they only live to about 3 or 4 years old, Casey said. We've only recorded two that have made it to 12 years old, she said. Only 26 collared wolves have made it to age 10. Wolf 907, the current leader of the Junction Buttle Pack in the northern part of Yellowstone National Park, has also lived most of her life with only one eye, as discovered through a trail cam video. It happened at some point between the time she was 10 months old and 4 years old, and we're not sure what happened, Casey said. It doesn't seem to hold her back at all. Generally, experts say wolves don't die of old age. They face many challenges, including vehicles and humans. Quote, it's always some kind of really dramatic kind of death. About half of them die when two packs fight each other over territory. They will also die while they are hunting large prey like elk or bison. They might get kicked or gored, Casey said. However, older and more experienced wolves can help younger wolves be cautious of these dangers. Quote, they can get experience that being successful is something that they can teach them, the younger pack mates, said Casey. Right now, about 25% of the wolves in Yellowstone National Park are collared. The Yellowstone Wolf Project started in 1995 after wolves were relocated to the park. It is one of the most detailed studied of a large carnivore in the world, according to Yellowstone Forever. the nonprofit partner of Yellowstone National Park. More work is now being done on the social dynamics of wolves. Gray wolves have previously been hunted to extinction by the 1920s before the reintroduction. So that's a great story. 907, best wishes with your three pups. And we hope that they live a long and prosperous life. We're always happy when pups are born and survive and do well. So I'm really happy about that. So congratulations. Let's see what else we have here. A couple of new things here. It's Fun Fact Friday, so I wanted to just share that. I've been collecting memes off of Facebook and other social media that are kind of funny and fun, and I've been sharing those every Friday. Last week, I'm going to repeat this one. It just shows the inside of a brain of a dog and an inside of the brain of a cat. And inside the dog, things like love, play, sleep, sniff, loyalty, protect family, food, and dig is inside the brain of the dog. But inside the cat's brain or the mind is food, sleep, and murder. And then one has a question mark. So I thought that was really funny. I wanted to share that again. Here's another one that I thought was pretty funny. There's a woman and she's looking at her dog and the dog is looking back at her. And the woman says to the dog, "The neighbor tells me you were out chasing people on a bicycle." And the dog said, "He's lying. I don't even have a bicycle." Da-dum-bum. I thought that was pretty funny. Then there was another one, a meme of, I don't know if people know this, but when you're Catholic, I don't know if they do it in other religions, but when you're Catholic and you have to go to confession, you go into like this little booth and there's the priest on one side and you're sitting on the other side and there's like, you really can't see the priest. There's like this little foggy window that you look through and you could talk to the priest. But anyway, there's the priest sitting there and on the other side of the window is a little dog and he's confessing to the priest, "I acted like I had been fed and got a second breakfast." I think Wanda does that. You know what? She really plays us. I think like, you know, like I'll give her some food and then she'll see Robert and she'll act like really, really hungry and want to eat again. So she tricks us. So now we always have to ask each other. I'll always be like, "Robert, did Wanda eat?" And Robert will say, "Yes, I just fed her." And I'll be like, "Oh, okay," because she's looking at me kind of hungry. There is a thing called single kitten syndrome. Yeah, I didn't really know that this was a thing, but it's true. It says here that felines are social animals and typically live in colonies, and kittens need interaction with other kittens for healthy social development. And isolating a kitten can delay their developmental, emotional, and if they have a little friend, it really helps them. So kittens learn to play, they learn behavioral boundaries from other kittens. And while humans are great, they can't provide the same kind of feedback and play that other kittens provide. So if you in the market for a kitten, always try to get two because two is better than one. And I would say that with older cats too. You know, Robert and I, we did take a chance when we went to the shelter. We just saw two cats. They didn't know who they were. You know, the two cats did not know each other. So we picked these two old cats and we were like, okay, let's bring them home and see what happens. Uh-oh, you know, we were a little bit worried, but you know, they hissed at each other a couple of times, and honestly, they really just fell in love with each other, and they became best buddies. Yeah, so that would be Tommy and Princess, and they really did love each other. So here's another meme I have. It's really funny. It's this person laying on the ground with two dogs, and they're just, the two dogs are laying there too. And it says here, "Person, you should try to go out and make more friends." And it's, and this says me, person laying on the ground with the two dogs. So that's what I like to see.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, home for the Todd Allball Show.
Crude and Dom. The Devil's Advocate's birthday week has begun. We'll compare hangovers and we'll take all the political headlines. Tune in Devil's Advocates 3 to 6.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.